Hindu god Shiva has a fascinating personality. For starters, he's got over 100 names. Shiva, Shankara, Bholenath, Rudra, Mahesh, and many more. He's a part of the Trinity alongside Brahma, who is the creator, and Vishnu, who is responsible for the sustenance of life on earth, and Shiva is the destructor, the destroyer. Because Hindus do believe that destruction is as essential as creation, for there can't be any creation without the destruction. And destruction not in the material sense only, but destruction of your ego, destruction of negative emotions. So that's the idea. But it's just not that, it's much more than that. The symbolism of Shiva, the stories associated with it, all of that has a huge impact on the believer's mind. And Devdutt Patnaik, in his new book called Seven Secrets of Shiva, he tries to unravel those mysteries, tries to explain what it means, you know, what do we understand by Shiva, and what is the meaning behind the symbolism. For example, the Shivalinga, which is sort of phallus symbol, and what are its interpretations? It's not just the phallus symbol. What is the philosophy behind it? What's essentially there? And that's just a starting point. As I said, there's much more than that, including all the stories and all the mythological aspects of it. So, to give you just a taste of it, I'm going to read from the first few pages of this book. So let's go. One day, a sculptor was given a rock and asked to carve an image of God. He tried to imagine a form that would best encapsulate God. If he carved a plant, he would exclude animals and humans. If he carved an animal, he would exclude humans and plants. If he carved a human, he would exclude plants and animals. If he carved a male, he would exclude the female. If he carved a female, he would exclude all males. God, he believed, was the container of all forms, and the only way to create this container was by creating no form. Or maybe God is beyond all forms, but a form is needed to access even this idea. Overwhelmed by these thoughts, the sculptor left the stone as it was and bowed before it. This was the Linga, the container of infinity, the form of the formless, the tangible that provokes insight into the intangible. The name given to God was Shiva, which means the pure one, purified of all forms. Shiva means that which is transcendent. Shiva means God who cannot be contained by space or time, God who needs no form. Shiva has been visualized as an icicle in a cave in Amarnath, Jammu. As a natural rock formation rising up from the earth, as in Bada Kedar at Tehri, or Lingaraja Bhuvaneshwar, as a smooth oval stone from the riverbed of Narmada placed in a metal trough, as in Kashi Vishwanath Varanasi, or a sculpture of smooth cylindrical freestanding pillar rising up from a leaf-shaped base, as in Brihadeshwara, Tanjore, or the Chandra Muleshwara temple at Karnataka. In the 12th century, in the land which is now called as the state of Karnataka, lived a man called Basava, who encouraged everyone to worship the formless, limitless divine in the form of personal image, the Ishtalinga, placed in an amulet and tied around the neck. The Ishtalinga had no particular form and reminded Basava of the formless divine. He believed that by adoration of this idea, through the formless form of the linga, humans would be able to break free from all divisions created by man on the basis of lineage, gender, profession, or wealth. He inspired the Lingayat and Virashaiva movements. Only humans can conceptualize the idea of infinity. Only humans can communicate such an abstract idea using various forms such as words and symbols. This is because humans are blessed with imagination. It is the one thing that separates us humans from animals. Humans can imagine because we have a highly developed brain, the cerebrum, with an especially large frontal lobe. This anatomical difference separates us from the rest of nature. So much so that in Samkhya, the Indian school of metaphysics, humanity or Purusha is seen as being separate from nature or Prakriti. This difference is seen as fundamental in the study of metaphysics. Because humans can imagine the notion of a reality beyond the senses, a reality beyond nature that has come into being. Without the cerebrum, there would be no imagination and hence no notion of God. In nature, all things have form. Each of these forms is limited by space and time. To sustain these forms, one has to feed and one has to procreate. Eventually, all forms are destroyed and replaced by new forms. Nature is thus a self-sustaining, predictable wheel of events where forms come and go. Only humans can imagine a world where all these rules are subverted. A world without forms, a world without limitations, a world without the need for action or the obligation to experience a reaction. A transcendental world beyond feeding and procreating, creating and destroying, a still world with no restlessness, only serenity, only bliss. In other words, humans can imagine a world beyond nature. This idea is contained in the Linga. In many temples of India, a head or multiple heads are carved on the Linga stone, or a brass mask representing a head covers the Linga stone. This head is identified with Shiva. It is a reminder of the human head that is unique from all other heads in the animal kingdom. It houses the highly developed brain that can imagine and hence forge a path to the divine. This is the very same reason that sacred marks are placed on the forehead of devotees, to remind them of the critical role our brain, hence our imagination, plays in defining our humanity. From imagination comes our vision of the world, our vision of our future, and most importantly, our vision of ourselves, who we are, and what we want to be. These visions may have nothing to do with the reality of the natural world around us. They may be improvements on what we remember or have been told. It is imagination that makes us realize that we are distinct from nature. In other words, imagination makes us self-aware. It is also imagination that makes us feel unique, because no two humans can imagine the same thing. Imagination, therefore, makes us wonder about who we are, compelling us to analyze, synthesize, create, and communicate. It is our imagination that will not allow us to stagnate. It propels us to improve. It propels us to grow. In Sanskrit, the sound brih means to grow, to swell, to expand and enlarge. From this sound come two very critical ideas, Brahman and Brahma. The former is a concept found in the Vedas and the latter is a character found in the Puranas. Vedas are the earliest sacred scriptures of Hinduism and are full of abstract hymns containing esoteric concepts. The Puranas were written later and used stories and characters to make those esoteric concepts more accessible. The Vedic Brahman is a neuter noun, which means the vast, the boundless, and the infinite. Puranic Brahma is a proper noun referring to a form of God that is very peculiarly and significantly not worshipped. The Hindu idea of God is rather complex. It cannot be explained without referring to goddess. Most people using the notion of God in the Bible as a template do not appreciate this and hence get confused. Goddess is nature, and God is how nature is perceived by the human imagination. When the perception is incomplete and inaccurate, God is not worshipped as in the case of Brahma. When the perception is complete and accurate, God is worshipped as in the case of Shiva and Vishnu. In fact, when perception is complete and accurate, the divide between God and Goddess collapses. There is only one. That one is Brahman. Brahma is God yearning for perfection. That is the Brahman. Hence the Vedic maxim, Aham Brahmasmi, which means both I am Brahma, meaning I am finite, as well as I am Brahman, meaning I am infinite. Every human being is in the process of moving from the finite to the infinite, from Brahma to Brahman, on the path forged by the imagination. The neuter Brahman is also called the Nirguna Brahman or the formless divinity. To be worshipped, it needs to become saguna or possess a form. Brahma is God who creates all forms, hence is called the creator. But he has not yet found the perfect form and is still yearning and searching, making him unworthy of worship. Vishnu is God who has realized that no form is perfect and so works with the limited forms. This is why he is called the preserver and is worshipped in various forms. Shiva is God who breaks free from all forms. Having found all of them limited, hence he is the destroyer who is worshipped as the Linga. Devotees need form to understand and seek the formless. Through Saguna is realized the Nirguna. Hence they turn to stories, symbols and rituals of Shiva and Vishnu. Shiva is Hara, who is indifferent to form, while Vishnu is Hari, who is appreciative of form. In medieval times, there was much rivalry between devotees of Shiva and Vishnu, as they showed preference for either Hara or Hari. Wisdom lies in breaking free from all differences, divisions, and limitations so that infinity may be realized.